Looks to me like the skin man could be one of the miners. Is that what you think?
Aye, a salty, even though a couple of them has been torn up too. It makes sense, as much as anything in a crazy business like this can make sense. The new plug's a lot deeper than the old ones, and everyone knows there are demons in the earth. Mayhap one of the miners struck on one, wakened it, and was done a mischief by it.
There are also leftovers from the great old ones in the ground, I said. Not all are dangerous, but some are. Perhaps one of those old things, those, what do you call them, Jamie?
Artifacts, he said.
Yes, those. Perhaps one of those is responsible. Mayhap the fellow will be able to tell us, if we take him alive.
Small chance of that, Peavy growled.
I thought there was a good chance. If we could identify him and close on him in the daytime, that was. How many of these salties are there? I asked.
Not so many as in the old days, because now it's just the one plug, don't you see it? I should say no more'n 200.
I met Jamie's eyes and saw a glint of humor in them. No fret, Roland, said he. I'm sure we can interview them all by reaptide.
If we hurry.
He was exaggerating, but I still saw several weeks ahead of us in Debaria. We might interview the skin man and still not be able to pick him out, either because he was a masterful liar or because he had no guilt to cover up. His day self might truly not know what his night self was doing. I wished for Cuthbert, who could look at things that seemed unrelated and spot the connections, and I wished for Elaine with his power to touch minds. But Jamie wasn't so bad either. He had, after all, seen what I should have seen myself, what was right in front of my nose. On one matter, I was in complete accord with Sheriff Hugh Peavy. I hated mysteries. It's a thing that has never changed in this long life of mine. I'm not good at solving them. My mind has never run that way. When we trooped back to the office, I said, I have some questions I must ask you, Sheriff. The first is, will you open to us if we open to you? The second is,
do I see you for what you are and accept what you do? The third is, do I seek aid and succor? Sheriff Peavy says, yar, yar, and yar. Now, for God's sake, set your brains to working, fellows, for it's over 2 weeks since this thing showed up at Serenity, and that time it didn't get a full meal. Soon enough, it'll be out there again.
It only prowls at night, Jamie said. You're sure of that much?
I am.
Does the moon have any effect on it? I asked. Because my father's advisor, and our teacher that was, says that in some of the old legends...
I've heard the legends, Si, but in that they're wrong, at least for this particular creature they are. Sometimes the moon's been full when it strikes. It was full peddler when it showed up at Serenity, all covered with scales and knobs like an alligator from the long salt swamps. But it did its work at Timbersmith when the moon was dark. I'd like to tell you different, but I can't. I'd also like to end this without having to pick anyone else's guts out of the bushes or pluck some other kiddie's head off on a fence post. You've been sent here to help, and I hope like hell you can, although I've got my doubts.
When I asked Peavy if there was a good hotel or boarding house in Debaria, he chuckled.
The last boarding house was the Widow Brayley's. 2 years ago, a drunk saddle tramp tried to rape her in her own outhouse as she sat at business. But she was always a trig one. She'd seen the look in his eye and went in there with a knife under her apron, cut his throat for him, she did. Stringy Bodine, who used to be our justice man before he decided to try his luck at raising horses in the Crescent, declared her not guilty by reason of self-defense in about 5 minutes, but the lady decided she'd had enough of Debaria and trained back to Gilead, where she yet bides, I've no doubt. 2 days after she left, some drunken buffoon burned the place to the ground. The hotel still stands. It's called the Delightful View. The view ain't delightful, young fellows, and the bed's as full of bugs as big as toad's eyeballs. I wouldn't sleep in one without putting on a full suit of Arthur Eld's armor.
And so we ended up spending our first night in Debaria, in the large, drunk, and disorderly cell beneath Peavy's chalked map. Salty Sam had been set free, and we had the jail to ourselves. Outside, a strong wind had begun to blow off the alkali flats to the west of town. The moaning sound it made around the eaves caused me to think again of the story my mother used to read to me when I was just a small toot myself. The story of Tim Stoutheart and the Stark Blast Tim had to face in the great woods north of New Canaan. Thinking of the boy alone in those woods has always chilled my heart, just as Tim's bravery has always warmed it. The stories we hear in childhood are the ones we remember all our lives. After one particularly strong gust, the Devaria wind was warm, not cold like the Stark Blast, struck the side of the jail and puffed alkali grit in through the barred window. Jamie spoke up. It was rare for him to start a conversation. "I hate that sound, Roland. It's apt to keep me awake all night." I loved it myself. The sound of the wind has always made me think of good times and far places, although I confess I could have done without the grit. "How are we supposed to find this thing, Jamie? I hope you have some idea, because I don't." "We'll have to talk to the salt miners. That's the place to start. Someone may have seen a fellow with blood on him creeping back to where the salties live, creeping back naked, for he can't come back clothed unless he takes them off beforehand." That gave me a little hope, although if the one we were looking for knew what he was, he might take his clothes off when he felt an attack coming on, hide them, then come back to them later. But if he didn't know... It was a small thread, but sometimes, if you're careful not to break it, you can pull on a small thread and unravel a whole garment. "Good night, Roland." "Good night, Jamie." I closed my eyes and thought of my mother. I often did that year, but for once they weren't thoughts of how she had looked dead, but of how beautiful she had been in my early childhood, as she sat beside me on my bed in the room with the colored glass windows, reading to me. "Look you, Roland," she'd say, "here are the billy bumblers sitting all a row and scenting the air. They know, don't they?" "Yes," I would say, "the bumblers know." "And what is it they know?" the woman I would kill asked me. "What is it they know, dear heart?" "They know the Stark Blast is coming," I said. My eyes would be growing heavy by then, and minutes later I would drift off to the music of her voice. As I drifted off now, with the wind outside blowing up a strong gale.